ETL Echo presents Hold Me in Your Arms by Shamel. Chapter 1. Alex Henry. Reluctant hugs that tell you everything you need to know. Alex is not okay. He's trying not to show it, of course, but they've been working together long enough for it to be obvious. They've been partners long enough, have seen each other at highs and lows, and this, Henry knows without a doubt, is a low. Maybe the lowest he's ever seen Alex, and that's saying something. He doesn't know what happened. Is too afraid to ask when Alex returns and doesn't immediately start giving him a play-by-play. Whatever it is, it must be quite bad for Alex to have retreated into himself like this. He's in pretty much the same place he collapsed on the sofa after he came back to the safe house, answering Henry's questions in single syllables, staring at a newspaper without reading it. He doesn't even read the newspaper under normal circumstances. Henry's the one that always picks it up, because he likes the idea of some things being true enough to print in indelible ink, even when he knows they're not. And Alex makes fun of him for being an old man. Henry doesn't know what to do. He's not equipped for this, not after so many years in the service. He's not built for providing comfort, not beyond making a pot of tea, which certainly won't help Alex. But he wants, unaccountably, to make things better somehow. Needs to. He won't pretend not to know what's behind it, even though he probably should. It'd be safer for both of them if he just let Alex be, let him handle whatever happened on his own. Instead, he slowly lowers himself to the couch next to Alex and takes the newspaper out of his hands. Alex doesn't fight him, just gives him a wary look, like he's afraid Henry's going to ask more questions that he doesn't want to, or can't, answer. But Henry slides a hand onto Alex's shoulder and opens his other arm in the universal sign of offering a hug and asks, "Can I?" Perhaps predictably, Alex stares at him. "Are you sure? You don't have to, just for me. I'll be fine." Just as Henry knows him, he knows Henry. Knows that Henry avoids most physical contact, outside what's necessary for his work. Has pretty much since his father died, and his mother withdrew, and his sister disappeared, and no one hugged Henry for literal years. Knows that the demands of the job have only made it worse. Alex is careful with him, never asking too much, even though Alex is definitely the kind of person who thrives on casual physical affection. Even with all of that, Henry wants to do this. He's not sure it will help, not sure he even knows how to give good hugs anymore, but he's sure he wants to try. "Yes," he tells Alex. "I want to, if you do," he adds, suddenly uncertain. What if Alex doesn't want a hug from him? What if he understands the magnitude of this, because there's no way he doesn't, and it's too much? What if... Alex very nearly launches himself into Henry's arms, pressing in close as he curls his own arms around Henry's waist, burrowing under skin and muscle and bone until he's securely lodged in Henry's ventricles. The hug almost hurts, and not because Alex is squeezing him so tightly, but because Henry's chest is cracking open at the feeling of Alex shaking apart in his arms. Henry holds him just as tightly, murmuring soft words of comfort as he smooths a hand over Alex's wild curls and lets him stay as long as he wants. It's all night. Alex stays in his arms all night, and Henry never once wants him to leave. Their partnership will never be the same. Henry will never be the same. He doesn't regret any of it. Chapter 2. Alex Henry. The Back Hug. Alex is in the kitchen, standing over a pot of sauce, with Otis Redding playing on his Bluetooth speakers, so he doesn't hear the front door open. David, however, leaps up from where he's been sitting hopefully at Alex's feet and skitters away. A moment later, a loud groan echoes down the hall, and Alex smiles to himself. It's become a routine on Henry's long days at the shelter. Alex takes the time to make something a little more involved for dinner, the process itself as much as an indulgence as the meal at the end. Henry will come home and kick off his shoes, groaning as he stretches, then bend down and give David a scratch behind the ears. Alex has only seen this part a couple of times, because usually he remains in the kitchen and waits for Henry to join him. Two wine glasses wait on the kitchen island, and Henry will take his time to peruse their slightly embarrassing wine collection before he selects a bottle to open. Alex doesn't turn at the sound of footsteps behind him, or the pop of the bottle. The anticipation has become part of the pleasure. The click of the wine glasses as Henry sets one next to him by the stove. And then, arms slide around his waist, and broad shoulders cover his, as Henry plasters himself against Alex's back. A trio of soft kisses pressed from his collar to the tender spot behind his ear, warm breath washing against his skin. Then Henry's chin hooks over his shoulder, and a contented hum rumbles through his body, so low that Alex feels it more than hears it. "Welcome home, baby," Alex says as he glances over at his boyfriend. "How was your day?"
"Good. Tiring. Better now," Henry murmurs back.
He won't move this position until he's forced to do so, usually because Alex has to do something in the dinner prep that'll be impeded by having a limpet attached to his back. Then he'll take a stool with his glass of wine, remaining in the kitchen so they can chat about their respective days until dinner is ready. It's routine, almost boring. Alex wouldn't change a thing. Chapter 3. Alex, Henry, excited to see you hug. 7 months, that's how long it's been. Henry hadn't believed him when Alex announced that he was taking a research position overwintering at McMurdo Station, in bloody Antarctica. Alex, who complains every time it gets below 5 degrees Celsius in New York. Alex, who hates being cooped up. Alex, who adores the sun. Yes, it was a highly selective position, and one that would certainly solidify Alex's place in the field. But it had been hard not to feel like Alex was doing it to get away from him. Especially after, well, after that rooftop party when they'd gotten drunk, and Henry had kissed him, then run away when he realized what he'd done. They'd both pretended not to remember the next day, but Henry was certain Alex had just been trying to spare his feelings. The Antarctica announcement had come shortly after that, the timing too suspicious to be coincidental. But Alex had also made Henry promise to video call with him regularly, to keep him from losing his mind, in his words. And surprisingly enough, they had done just that. Alex's time and access to the internet were limited, so whenever he called, Henry dropped whatever he was doing to talk for as long as Alex could spare. He'd listen to Alex complain about the cold and wax lyrical about his research in equal measure, then dutifully report on departmental gossip and David's latest antics, and it was wonderfully, beautifully easy between them. Henry wouldn't have believed it were possible, but he'd fallen even more in love with Alex over that pixelated video feed and a flurry of back-and-forth emails, 1 week at a time. By the end of 7 months, there was no question that his feelings were reciprocated. Not with the way Alex's face would light up every time the video connected. Not with the way that their conversations became more intimate, sharing their deepest hopes and fears. Maybe they hadn't said the words, but Henry could feel them, all the way from the other side of the globe. Flying down to Chile to meet Alex's ship at the end of the season was probably a little overboard, especially since Alex doesn't know he's here. But Henry can't wait any longer. His nervousness sizzles under his skin and buzzes in his ears, but it all falls away the moment Alex turns the corner and walks into the area where a smattering of others are waiting for the overwinterers to disembark. He's thinner than he was when he left New York, his usual warm bronze skin oddly sallow after half a year without the sun. But even so, somehow he's even more gorgeous than when he left, and Henry's breath catches in his throat. Alex's eyes sweep idly across the gathered crowd. He's not expecting anyone. Then they land on Henry, and he stops dead, ignoring the dirty looks he gets from the people walking behind him. His face is slack in shock, mouth hanging open. Henry hasn't taken a breath in what feels like several minutes. Then Alex drops his duffel bag on the floor and takes off at a sprint toward him, and Henry catches him nearly lifting Alex off the ground as Alex throws his arms around his neck and buries his face in Henry's shoulder. It takes Henry a moment to realize he's shaking, his gasping breaths shuddering through his body as he holds on for dear life.
You asshole!
Alex nearly sobs into his chest.
I can't believe you didn't tell me you were coming. I can't believe you're here.
I had to, Henry says helplessly.
I had to see you, love.
Finally, Alex pulls his head back. His long eyelashes are suspiciously wet.
I'm so fucking glad you're here.
And this time, when Henry kisses him, he knows neither of them will ever forget it. Chapter 4. Pez, Liam. Standing, sitting hugs. It had been a rough game. Too many mistakes on their part. Too many dirty plays by the other team that went uncalled by the refs. Too many moments where they just weren't clicking. It happens. They'll move on. But the mood as they file into the locker room afterward is decidedly somber. Then there's Liam. Just visible through the open door to the training room. Sitting on an exam table with his head bent dejectedly toward the floor. He'd taken a bad fall late in the game, and hadn't returned before the end, even to the bench. Now there's a massive bundle of ice strapped to his left shoulder. A few of the other guys call out to him, and he tells them it's nothing, in an extremely unconvincing tone of voice. No one ventures into the training room, unwilling to face Zara's wrath for intruding on her domain without permission. No one but Pez, who practically sprints through the door the moment he spots Liam sitting there. He inserts himself between Liam's knees and rests his hands on Liam's hips, staring up into Liam's eyes with worry etched on his face. As Henry watches, they exchange a few words, and Liam tugs him into a hug with his good arm, and Pez's arms wind around his waist as he buries his face in Liam's neck. They practically melt into each other, tension unspooling from both their bodies. Henry's happy for them, truly. Happy that they found this in each other, but it makes his heart ache just a little. He's even happier that the team environment is such that they don't have to hide. Not that they're usually this affectionate with each other when they're here, but still, everyone knows. Or he thought everyone knew. A familiar voice says as someone takes a seat on the bench beside him.
Is that...
Henry cocks an eyebrow as he looks over at Alex, who's staring at Liam and Pez like he's just seen a ghost. He waits for a conclusion to that question, but it never comes.
Hmm?
He prompts eventually. Alex licks his lips and tears his gaze away from the couple, something frantic in his eyes. If Henry didn't know better, he'd say Alex was being homophobic, but his sister's got a girlfriend. Hell, he fought for the team to be allowed to wear pride gear this year.
Just... Are they...
They are, Henry answers the fragmented question. Then, because he can't help it, he adds,
Problem? What? No,
Alex says vehemently, his eyes skittering from Henry to the training room and back again.
It's just... Liam is gay?
Oh, Henry thinks. Fuck. Does Alex have a crush on him? Is that what this is? Alex calls himself an ally loudly, but he also vocally thirsts over hot guys even more than Henry does. Henry's never allowed himself to seriously contemplate that Alex might not be straight, for his own mental health. Finding out he might not be, because he likes one of their teammates, would be fairly devastating.
Yes, he is,
Henry answers slowly. He frowns.
Did you really not know?
Alex gulps.
No, he never...
He cuts off with a shake of his head.
Fuck. I gotta go. Later, H.
With that, he takes off like a shot, leaving Henry more than a little confused, and wondering if he'll ever find out what caused that reaction. Chapter 5. Alex Henry. A hug before a kiss. This has been the shittiest birthday Alex can remember in a long time. They've been slammed all evening, like everyone in the surrounding area decided they all had to visit the restaurant on the same day. Normally, Alex wouldn't complain. He likes staying busy, and the buzz of a well-running kitchen is almost soothing to him. Tonight, though, the kitchen had been running far from well. First, one of his line cooks was out sick, and no one else could come in. Then, one of the new kids he's been training accidentally upended an entire tub of prepped artichokes. Artichokes! Alex's hands are still raw from the frantic, all-hands-on-deck rush to get enough replacements cleaned. His normally extremely capable sous-chef had just broken up with her girlfriend and was hanging on by a thread all night, occasionally disappearing to go cry in the walk-in. More than one sauce had been forgotten and burned on the stove. And, of course, there'd been your usual picky diners, people unable to be satisfied by anything. And while usually he's pretty good at letting that stuff roll off his back, tonight, Alex was seconds away from melting down and turning into one of those chefs he swore he'd never become. He might have spent the last 20 minutes, after the last diners had finally gone and the rest of the kitchen staff have followed, collapsed in a booth with a bottle of Makers. He's gonna go home. Promise. He just needs to get up the energy to move. Except... There's a clattering from the kitchen, and a soft, unexpectedly posh, "Fuck!" audible in the dead silence of the restaurant. Alex levers himself out of the booth and pushes his way into the kitchen, following the sounds of movement to the pastry chef's station, which is tucked away in an alcove. There, bent incongruously over a single dessert plate holding some kind of small cake, is his sommelier.
Henry?
Henry, who apparently did not hear Alex come in, jolts upright, his face going red like he's been caught. Caught at what? Alex can't begin to imagine.
Oh, Alex, he breathes. Then he glances down at the dessert in front of him, and his face falls. Christ, this was supposed to be a surprise.
I mean, it definitely is, Alex offers.
As far as he knows, Henry doesn't cook much. He's got an exceptional palate, but is fairly hopeless in the kitchen, by his own accounts. And yet, no one else is here. Just Henry and a cake. There's a singular candle stuck into the top of it. It's not hard to draw a conclusion, unlikely though it may seem.
Is that for me?
Well, Henry says uncertainly.
He sighs.
Yes, I suppose.
Alex can't help the smile playing on his lips as he slowly walks closer.
You suppose?
If it's not any good, then it definitely wasn't for you, Henry hedges.
But he's smiling now, too, a little hesitant thing that makes Alex's heart beat an erratic rhythm in his chest. Alex stops next to the counter where the cake sits, which also happens to be right in front of Henry. He looks up into sparkling blue eyes, under brows still knit together in the middle, and wants to smooth out the wrinkle between them with his thumb. Instead, he picks up the fork sitting next to the plate.
Can I try it?
Now, hold on. The candle's meant to be lit.
Henry tries, but Alex laughs at him and cuts a neat corner off the little square cake. It's a rich, deep brown, with a dark filling that oozes out between two layers, and when he sticks the fork in his mouth, a rich interplay of chocolate and the sweet tart notes of port-soaked cherries bursts across his tongue. Alex finishes his bite slowly, savoring both the flavors and the nervous fidgeting of the man standing so very close to him. He's been more than half in love with Henry for a while now, but he could never be sure if his feelings were returned. They work so well together here, it seemed stupid to risk it.
Fuck that.
Well?
Henry finally asks, unable to help himself, as Alex slowly sets the fork down on the plate.
You don't have to spare my feelings if it was awful. June tried to help me with the cake recipe, but I fear I might be unteachable. Oh!
The words cut off, because Alex has grabbed both of his wrists and is pulling him a step closer, even as he closes the remaining gap between them. He arranges Henry's compliant arms around his waist, then loops his own over Henry's shoulders, drawing him in until their bodies are pressed together and mere inches separate their faces.
It's incredible,
he murmurs. Yeah, the cake's a little dry, and his ganache isn't perfect, but it doesn't matter. Henry made it for him, for his birthday. And for that, it's better than every Michelin-starred cake he's ever eaten.
Thank you, H. It means a lot.
You deserve it,
Henry murmurs back. His eyes keep flitting down to Alex's lips, and Alex's smile grows.
You know what I really want, though?
What?
Henry asks breathlessly, as his arms tighten around Alex's waist. The tips of their noses bump together.
This,
Alex says, and kisses him. Clearly, Henry's been sampling as he constructed the dessert, because he tastes like chocolate and port-soaked cherries, and Alex can't get enough. Henry kisses him like he's been aching for it just as long as Alex has, holding on to him like he's never going to let go. And frankly, Alex isn't going anywhere. Maybe this wasn't such a shitty birthday after all. Chapter 6. Alex Henry. The, whoa, hey, hello, hi, hug. Alex is exceptionally drunk. Probably more drunk than Henry's ever seen him, and that's saying something, since they spent the majority of their graduate school years together. Henry's seen him silly drunk at holiday parties, and sad drunk after committee meetings, and angry drunk that one time when someone scooped him in a publication, but he's never seen him quite this ecstatically happy drunk. He certainly earned it. His dissertation defense had gone perfectly. Christ, but he'd looked incredible up there, in a sharp suit purchased just for the occasion, confident and brilliant, as he explained his research. Apparently, his committee didn't even give him many revisions, the lucky bastard. Luck has nothing to do with it. Alex is just that good. So he's got plenty of reasons to be happy, and Henry is happy for him. If Henry's also achingly sad, that's his own business. Okay, yes, Alex is sticking around for another semester to teach, but all too soon he'll get some fabulous postdoc or faculty position, and God knows where it will be, but it'll almost inevitably be far away from Henry. Henry has managed to keep his maudlin thoughts at bay for most of Alex's defense party, but the night is winding down, and so is he. He's withdrawn to the edges after an unsuccessful attempt at distracting himself by helping to clean up. Zara had told him in no uncertain terms to cut it out. She was paying someone to do that. Chatting with a few people, but mostly sulking. Fortunately, Alex hasn't noticed. Or that's what he thought. One moment, Alex is bopping wildly along to some pop song on the makeshift dance floor they've cleared by shoving Zara's living room furniture out of the way. And the next, he's making a beeline toward Henry. Henry barely has a chance to prepare himself before Alex is throwing himself at him, and Henry has no choice but to quickly abandon his drink in order to catch him. "Whoa there, love," he says, because he's more than a little drunk himself, and his filter is shot. Alex grins brilliantly up at him and simply says, "Hi," as he wraps his arms around Henry's waist and pulls him into a crushing hug. "Hello," Henry replies, unable to keep himself from matching Alex's smile. "Can I help you with something?" "You can come dance with me." "Oh, I don't think—" "Please, H," Alex interrupts, batting those offensively long eyelashes up at him. "You gotta." Henry's always been terrible at saying no to him. Still, he tries. "Oh, do I?" "Yeah, 'cause it's my party, and I want you." He doesn't mean it like that, of course. He just wants Henry to join them. But Henry's stomach turns over anyway. Helpless to resist, he lets Alex drag him out onto the dance floor. Then someone... it was definitely Pez. Henry's going to murder him. Puts on a slow song. To Henry's surprise, Alex collapses into his arms like all the frenetic energy has drained out of him at once, his arms looped tightly around Henry's waist and his head resting on Henry's shoulder. "Hey," Alex says after they've swayed aimlessly for a little while. "Why are you sad?" So he definitely noticed. Henry shouldn't be surprised. "I'm not," he tries, anyway. Alex lifts his head up long enough to glare at him. "Fine. I'm a little sad. It's just the beginning of the end, isn't it? I'll be finishing this year. I will hush you, and you're applying for jobs and leaving me." He means to say us, but it doesn't come out that way. Alex just hums, a low rumble Henry feels more than he hears.
"Take you with me."
"What?"
"You know, like a spousal hire,"
Alex says, yawning into Henry's shirt.
"Tell him I need a position for you, too. They'd be stupid not to."
Henry's head swims. The thing is, Alex is such a superstar that he probably could negotiate something like that. Except for, you know, the fact that they're not married. Alex doesn't even seem to realize the implications of what he's just said. He's too busy falling asleep on Henry's shoulder.
"I think we need to get you home," Henry manages eventually.
Alex rousts himself, blinking up at him.
"Just think about it, okay?"
he says, like this is a serious proposition.
"Okay,"
Henry agrees. What else is he going to do? Besides, it makes Alex smile at him again. And really, that's all that matters. Chapter 7. Zara Shan. The Reluctant Hug. The first time they see each other in person after the email leaks is when Henry goes to DC for Alex's speech. Usually, in a situation like this where they're only interacting for work, neither of them would even think about letting any part of their relationship slip through. All the looks, all the touches, even a hint of personal conversation, that stuff is only let out when they're off the clock. They've crammed a lot into two-day holidays over the last half a year, and even with what little pieces they get of each other, it's worth it. Today is different, though. He can see the toll that the leaks and their aftermath have taken on Zara. Not just because of the political impact, though of course that is her job to deal with, but the personal one, too. Zara cares deeply about Alex, more than she'd ever admit to anyone. Sean can tell, though. Could tell when he first heard the minute hitch in her breath over the telephone line. She feels responsible, just as he does. They couldn't protect their charges, no matter how hard they tried. Now, she's running around as usual, barely sparing him a glance as she barks out schedules and timing. They've landed no more than half an hour before Alex is due to speak, and it's a mad rush, even when Alex and Henry disappear for 10 minutes, no doubt to do things Sean would rather not think about. It's not until later that evening. They're staying overnight, something he'd quietly insisted upon when they'd made these plans, that Sean manages to actually catch her.
"Did you need something?"
she asks brusquely. He knows better than to take it personally.
"Yes," he tells her, equally businesslike. "Can I speak with you privately for a moment?"
Her eyes flash like she knows what he's up to. She probably does. Normally, he'd never attempt to request a private moment, even now when most of the White House has retired for the night. But there's nothing about this situation that's normal. For a moment, he thinks she's going to refuse, but then she gives a short nod and leads him through a random doorway.
"Okay, Srivastava, what is it? I don't really have time."
She starts immediately, which is a lie because he personally heard Ellen Claremont say she didn't need anything else from Zara tonight.
"Zara,"
he interrupts softly, putting his hand over one of hers. She doesn't pull away, which is a good sign. Or maybe a bad one. When she looks up at him, the conflict is plain on her face.
"We can't,"
she starts. Stops and licks her lips, her lipstick still flawless this late at night.
"Not here."
"I know," he reassures her. "I'm not asking for much, just a hug."
She narrows her eyes at him, and Sean lets his expression soften.
"You'd be doing me a favor."
Even the moments when they can truly be alone together, Zara isn't much of a hugger. She won't even initiate one on those rare occasions where she wants to be held. So Sean has learned to detect such circumstances and then ask for one for himself. She always gives a little huff, like it's a chore, though if she didn't want to, she'd just tell him no and walk away. Then she'll reluctantly let herself be drawn into his arms, and only when her face is hidden against his neck will she allow her shoulders to relax. She'll take a deep breath, her arms tightening around his waist, and he'll hold her for however long she allows. Today, Zara needs a hug, and Sean will do whatever he must to give it to her. It helps that it's not a lie. Sean really could use a hug himself, after everything. He has to keep himself from smiling when she rolls her eyes and lets out her usual huff. The rest follows as he's become accustomed to, though she holds him tighter and longer than he was expecting. Then she shocks him by murmuring, "I love you," into the collar of his shirt.
"Thank fuck you're here."
"I'm here, my love,"
he breathes as he smooths a hand over her hair.
"I'm here."
Chapter 8. Alex Henry. The It's okay, I'm here, hug. It wasn't supposed to happen like this. When Henry gave him the watch, it was only half a joke, and half because Henry's in love with him, and his hopeless heart latched onto the slim chance to keep an eye on him, at least from a distance. He'd expected Alex to leave it behind, or disable the tracker, or at the very least not wear it, but as far as he can tell, Alex had done none of those things. The tracker bops around the globe, giving Henry far too much information on CIA missions merely through its location. Not that Henry would ever pass on that information to his own agency, or anyone else for that matter. That Alex trusted him not to, to keep his secrets, well, it means a lot. He assumed that at some point, his own work would bring him within striking distance of Alex again, and he'd make use of the tracker to find him and... oh, hell, he doesn't know. Say hello? It sounds absurd for a spy, but it's pretty much all he could hope for. But before that happens, the tracker gets stuck for a week in a remote part of Guatemala, and Henry starts to get worried. Maybe Alex just lost the watch, or abandoned it for some reason. That's the most reasonable explanation. Even so, Henry quietly requests recent satellite images of that area and zooms all the way in on the watch's coordinates. It's a high-security compound of some sort. Not good. He tries not to let his imagination run wild. The tracker he'd left in the watch is extremely high resolution, and he watches it occasionally move around the compound, as if someone was wearing it, though mostly it stays in one place. Alex could have traded it or gifted it as part of an operation. It was a valuable watch, after all. Still, it nags at Henry. He's not going to be able to rest until he finds out what actually happened. The most straightforward way would be simply asking. But he has no way of contacting Alex, except a burner phone he has no reason to believe Alex would be monitoring. He sends a message anyway. But after a few days without a response, he can't take it anymore. It's completely mad, he knows it is, but he makes up an excuse about tracking down a lead on a long, cold operation and books a ticket to Guatemala City. He covertly watches the outside of the compound for 3 days, keeping track of the men who come and go, and sends photos of them to B with a request to run facial recognition and not ask any questions. She does, of course, but she doesn't push, even when they come back with the names of some very bad people. Finally, once the compound's primary resident leaves and takes with him what should be the majority of his armed muscle, Henry makes his move. The watch is still inside, and Henry follows the tracker's signal down into the basement of an outbuilding, taking out a handful of guards with tranquilizers as he goes. The building is dark and dank, and the series of locked metal doors he finds do nothing to help the cold, hard knot that's settled into his stomach. His hands don't shake as he picks the lock on the one the watch is resting behind, but that careful composure slips when the door finally swings open to reveal a miserable lump curled on a thin mattress, a head of matted curls just visible through the murky darkness. Alex flinches away when Henry first reaches out for him, scrambling into the corner. But then his eyes land on Henry and his mouth drops open. He blinks rapidly, scrubs frantically at his eyes, and blinks again.
Henry, he croaks in disbelief. What are you doing here?
I'm here for you, love, Henry tells him, holding his hands out in front of him as he slowly moves closer.
I've come to get you.
There's a beat of silence, then another, then Alex surges toward him. Henry almost shies away himself, unsure of what Alex means to do. But then Alex is grabbing him and wrapping him up in a hug so tight it squeezes the air out of Henry's lungs, and Henry can do nothing else but curl his arms around the trembling man now occupying his lap.
It's okay, I'm here, he murmurs, rubbing a soothing hand down Alex's back. How?
Alex chokes out.
How did you?
His voice trails off as he raises his left arm and looks at his own wrist, where a bit of watch strap peeks out beyond the filthy cuff of his shirt. Inexplicably, his captors had let him keep it, though that becomes more understandable when his sleeve slips further down and Henry sees how he's smeared it with mud. The exquisite Patek Philippe now looks like a beaten-up piece of junk.
I didn't want to lose it,
Alex says, his voice cracking over the syllables. He drops his arm and tries to bury his face in Henry's chest.
That probably sounds dumb.
No, love, it doesn't, Henry says, holding him tighter. It's torture to pull away, but eventually he must. Come on, he says, tipping Alex's chin, now covered in a scraggly beard, up so their eyes meet. Let's get you out of here. Chapter 9. Alex Henry. The I Forgive You Hug. Are you going to tell me what's going on with you? Henry asks, having finally managed to corner Alex alone by the cake, midway through their friend's wedding reception. Alex rolls his eyes, not in that teasing way he used to, but decidedly exasperated, which is as much a sign that something's wrong as all the rest of his behavior. Nothing's going on, he huffs, pretending like he's suddenly fascinated by sugar flowers. You've been acting like a right asshole all night. To Jeff and to me, Henry says bluntly. He's never seen Alex be as rude as he's been to Henry's date. Maybe he and Alex haven't stayed in touch as much lately, but they were close friends once. Honest with each other. Okay, perhaps Henry has kept one secret, but that's beside the point. Something's clearly wrong, and I think you should just say it. It's nothing, Alex grunts. He starts trying to walk away, but Henry's not done with this discussion. He reaches out to grab Alex's arm, only for his grip to get shaken off. The movement causes Alex to lurch to the side, and he bumps into the cake table, which wobbles once precariously before stabilizing. Alex lets out a heavy sigh of relief, and Henry takes advantage of his distraction to grab his arm, more firmly this time, and haul him out into the corridor. Stop saying it's nothing, Henry snaps. They're standing closer now, their noses no more than a handful of centimeters apart, and Alex glares up at him. I know you, and this isn't who you are. Maybe it is now, Alex retorts defiantly, but there are cracks forming in his facade. His lower lip, stuck out along with his set jaw, wobbles. Please, Alex, Henry says, his voice softening before he means to let it. He's never been able to stay mad at Alex for that long. You know you can tell me anything. Alex's expression crumples, and he drops his eyes to the ground. I'm sorry, H. I was frustrated at myself, and I took it out on you guys. You didn't deserve that. Henry doesn't hesitate before he pulls Alex into a hug, wrapping his arms tightly around Alex's shoulders as Alex tucks his head partly under Henry's chin. It's forgiven, he says, half into Alex's curls. It's just, I missed you, and it hurt when you pushed me away like that. I missed you too, Alex sniffles into Henry's shoulder. After another breath, he carefully extracts himself and smooths the front of his jacket down. I saw you after all this time, and I think I was so fucking overwhelmed by regret that I temporarily lost my mind. What do you mean, regret? Henry asks, though he assumes Alex means not keeping in touch as much as they should have. Henry certainly has plenty of regrets about that. But Alex just smiles a little ruefully and shakes his head. Mostly regret that I didn't figure out I was bisexual until after college. Henry blinks at him. What? I mean, I had such a big fat crush on you, and I didn't even realize what it was until literal years later. How embarrassing is that? He says it with a laugh, and an alluring dusty pink tinge on his cheeks, like he hasn't just turned Henry's entire life upside down. But, Henry starts, only to falter. But you've got a partner now, too. Who, Nora? Alex frowns at him. I could have sworn I told you she's my sister's wife. She's just here because I didn't want to come alone. That and the free cake. So you're not seeing anyone? Alex's mouth tips wryly. Nope. Sadly single. Henry doesn't think. He crosses the few steps between them, puts both of his hands on Alex's face, and pulls him into a kiss. Alex responds almost instantaneously, like he can't help it, and their lips slide together for a few blissful moments before he tears himself out of it, his eyes wide. Wait, what about Jeff? We've been on 3 dates and I don't even like him that much, Henry confesses. I didn't want to come alone either. So you have been in love with you since our first year? Yes, Henry finishes, unwilling to waste any more time. Alex's smile is impossibly brilliant when Henry pulls him into another kiss. Chapter 10. Alex Henry. The overexcited topple-you-over hug. Henry's final trip down the course is, quite literally, a blur. The weather had turned during the last few skiers' runs, and the snow was now falling hard enough to transform everything into a muffled world of white. The only things he can see through his goggles are the bright red lines marking the course, rapidly getting fainter as the snow covers them, and the gates that appear out of the whiteness mere seconds before he encounters them. The conditions are awful, but Henry had honestly been more afraid that officials would call for a postponement before his run than he'd been of the course itself. He doesn't know his time, or whether he's ahead or behind the current leader, Alex Claremont Diaz, an American who's become a close friend over years and hundreds of competitions, a man who Henry's fallen more than a little in love with, who's been sitting in the gold medal seat since he descended the course almost 15 skiers ago. All he knows is the slice of his skis through the snow and the way he whips around the curves, rocketing down the hill so fast he can hardly breathe. By some miracle, he stays on the course. He pumps a fist in triumph when he crosses the finish line, not because he thinks he won, he'd be surprised given the conditions, but because he made it in one piece. He fought his way down, tooth and nail, and he finished, which was far from a certainty. He tears off his snow-crusted goggles and turns on his skis, looking for the clock through the falling snow. But what he sees first is someone barreling toward him, a blur of red, white, and blue that doesn't slow down until they slam bodily into him, throwing their arms around his middle in a crushing hug. The force of it sends Henry careening backward until the quick releases on his ski bindings give way, and they tumble to the snow in a heap, both laughing. Because there's no question who Henry's assailant is. There's only one person mad enough to tackle him like that at the World Championships, and certainly only one already within the barricades.
You motherfucker!
Alex yells over the cheers of the crowd, still lying fully on top of Henry.
You fucking did it! That was incredible!
Henry doesn't believe him. That's impossible. Alex was the hands-down favorite to take the gold in this event. But sure enough, he tips his head enough to see his own name at the top of the leaderboard. When he looks back, Alex's smile is so blindingly bright, so happy for Henry, even though it meant he got knocked off the top of the podium, that Henry's self-control is stretched to its limits with the effort to not kiss him. Particularly considering that Alex is looking at him like he's struggling with a similar internal conflict. Henry doesn't kiss him. Instead, he hugs Alex back fiercely and smashes snow into his curls where his hat's come off, and thinks maybe, just maybe, that tonight's celebrations might be even more special than he ever could have dreamed. Alex Henry, the clinging on for dear life hug. 2 years into their friendship, and 1 year into their time as flatmates, and approximately 1 year and 364 days after he first fell in love, Henry finally convinces Alex to go sailing with him. "I promise you'll be safe," Henry tells him for the thousandth time as they stand on the dock. The small sailboat bobs next to it, more stout than Henry would usually rent, but perfect for today. Alex shoots him his 1,000th skeptical look.
"What if I fall in?"
"We'll be wearing these," Henry tells him, brandishing a bright red life jacket in front of him.
"I don't know. I don't think I'm ready," Alex says.
Henry can't help but deflate.
"Look, I won't force you, but I really think you'll enjoy it. And in a tub like this, we won't even get wet."
Chewing on his lower lip, Alex stares down at the boat.
"Promise?"
"That's probably a silly promise to make. They'll be on a small boat, after all, quite close to the water. But Henry makes it anyway." Finally, he gets Alex into the life jacket, shrugs his own on, and steps into the little boat, which rocks under his weight. He holds out a hand to help Alex in, which Alex stares at for an excruciating minute before he finally takes it. Of course, Alex doesn't know how to get into a boat, which means the moment he steps past the gunwale, the boat lurches to one side, and Henry ends up with Alex clinging to him for dear life, holding onto Henry's jacket with a white-knuckle grip as he presses his body as close to Henry's as physically possible.
"It's okay, love, you're all right," Henry laughs, curling one arm around Alex as he uses the other to hold onto the rigging.
He's certainly not complaining. If he thought this would happen, he might have pressed to go out on the boat earlier.
I'm only staying because I can't move or I'll fall out, Alex huffs, glaring up at him. You're not going to fall out, Henry insists. And if you do, I'll come rescue you. Alex rolls his eyes. My hero.
In the end, once they get underway, and Henry convinces him to stop white-knuckling the sides of the boat, Alex slowly relaxes. In fact, for someone who almost religiously avoids the water, he looks surprisingly at home out here with the sea breeze tousling his curls. They'd packed a picnic lunch, so Henry drops the sails and lets them bob aimlessly in the sound while they eat, and it's really lovely. Henry's ready to mark this down as a resounding success, at least until he goes to raise the jib and finds it caught on something.
Stay here. I'll be back shortly, he tells Alex, then climbs up to the bow and sets to work, untangling the knot that his lines have gotten themselves into.
It takes longer than he expects, and when he turns his back, he sees Alex standing at the stern, one hand on a stay, just staring into the ocean. Henry's so distracted by the sight of him that he doesn't notice the motorboat's approach until it goes rocketing past them at far too close a range, sending a massive wave careening toward their boat. Henry calls out to Alex, but it's too late. He watches, as if in slow motion, as the boat heaves in the wake and sends Alex toppling over the side.
Alex!
Henry yells again as he scrambles desperately toward the stern, only to find the life jacket bobbing in the water. Empty. It takes no more than the length of a breath for Henry to shuck his own jacket and dive in. The water is clear for the first few meters, but there's no sign of Alex near the boat. His lungs scream as he kicks deeper, desperation thrumming in his veins. He sees a flash of iridescent red, like the fins of something large, out of the corner of his eye, which is as good a sign as any that he's running out of oxygen. There's no fish that's red like that up here. He doesn't want to, but he has little choice. Henry claws his way to the surface and gulps air, screaming Alex's name even though it's probably pointless. But then, something brushes his shoulder, and a familiar voice murmurs, "Henry, sweetheart, stop." And Henry spins around to see Alex bobbing effortlessly in the waves. The fact that he's not even treading water barely registers, because Henry's too busy pulling him close, and it's his turn to hold on for dear life, lest Alex slip beneath the surface again.
"Oh my God, Alex, I thought I'd lost you," he nearly sobs. "Come on, we have to get you out."
Alex laughs, an odd musical quality to it.
"Little late for that," he says ruefully.
He pulls back, a hesitant look on his face, and a moment later, a red, finned tail emerges from the water next to him.
"You're," Henry gasps, "you're a mermaid."
"Merman, actually," Alex corrects as Henry swims close to him again. He can't fight the urge to reach out toward Alex's tail, mesmerized by the iridescent scales, and he sees Alex frown out of the corner of his eye.
"You're not scared of me?"
"No," Henry says. "Why would I be?
You're beautiful. I mean, you've always been beautiful, but this..."
When Alex doesn't pull away, he cautiously strokes his fingers along one of Alex's fins, and when he looks back, he finds Alex watching him raptly.
"You're incredible, love."
Alex's tail slips beneath the surface, but he reaches out with both hands, grabs Henry's face, and pulls him into a kiss that makes Henry's blood sing in his veins. And Henry might not know how any of this works, but he's completely sure that he'll do whatever it takes to keep Alex in his life, and in his arms, forever. Chapter 12. Oscar and Henry. The "I've got your back" hug. One of Henry's favorite outcomes of stepping down from his royal position was that he had more time to devote to the network of shelters that he's been building with Pez. He loves planning the spaces and visiting them and meeting with the staff to figure out better ways to serve the community. Even the fundraising galas are less tedious when he can freely tell people to sod off with the "His Royal Highness" nonsense and call him Henry. These kinds of meetings he could certainly do without. Unfortunately, winning local city governments over so they'll approve the necessary rezoning and building permits is a vitally important part of the process, and so Henry is steeling himself for what is likely to be an unpleasant hour of his life. Usually, Pez would be here too. Pez is aces, as he puts it, with charming people, and all Henry has to do is sit there and chip in with a few key points when Pez prompts him. but Pez is traveling for some other business meeting, and Alex is stuck at home because of an important case. So Henry was resigned to facing this one alone. That, as it turns out, isn't quite the case.
Cheryl Robinson will be your biggest opponent, Oscar is telling him. She represents, how should I put it, some of the less progressive interests in the city, and she's unfortunately got a lot of sway. She loves dogs, though, so if you tell a cute story about David, you'll soften her up.
When Henry had made plans to stay with his father-in-law for this trip, he hadn't really expected all of this, which, in retrospect, was probably silly of him. Oscar always seemed to delight in the opportunity to help them out, and unlike Alex, Henry has no hang-ups about accepting it. He'd insisted on driving Henry to his meeting, and has been giving him a rundown on every city official who will be there, including every bit of inside information he has. Henry's so grateful for the support, he could cry. He doesn't, though. He sits in the passenger seat and takes notes. Foster, bad to pay, mention construction budget and local contracts, as they slowly make their way through LA traffic.
Sure you don't want me to come in? Oscar asks when they finally arrive.
He's not wearing business meeting clothes, but Henry thinks he probably doesn't care.
I think it's probably best I don't surprise them with a senator they're not expecting, Henry replies. You're probably right, Oscar says with a grin.
Henry smooths a hand over the folio containing his notes.
Thank you for all of this, though. It's been immensely helpful. Anytime.
To Henry's surprise, Oscar follows him out of the car and stands next to him while Henry collects his briefcase from the back. When Henry turns toward him, he reaches up to straighten Henry's tie and brush imaginary lint off the shoulder of his jacket. Henry's used to such fussing over his appearance, though not from Oscar, and he's certainly not used to it being the prelude to being tugged into a hug.
They give you any trouble, you call me, okay? Oscar says as he holds Henry tightly. You got this, mijo.
Right. Henry might actually cry now, which would definitely be counterproductive. He doesn't currently trust himself to speak, so he just nods as he straightens up again, collects himself, and heads into the meeting a lot more confident than he'd been this morning. Chapter 13. Alex Henry. The Stumbling Hug. He's well into his run in the park when he rounds a bend in the path and sees him. The hot guy with the beagle, aka the love of Alex's life, even though he doesn't know it yet. Alex doesn't actually know his name, which is ridiculous. They've been meeting up in the park for months now, finding time in their busy schedules to chat about books they've been reading or movies they've watched, about family and careers, about everything and nothing, which is precisely why Alex can't exactly admit such a thing now. It was an accident, he's sure, that David's dad, aka Blue Eyes, never introduced himself. He'd introduced his dog, but the two humans in this not-quite-a-relationship didn't actually exchange names. Somehow, Blondie, aka Kissable Lips, knows Alex's name, even though Alex is sure he'd never told him. Alex has considered ways he might find out. Stealing the man's wallet, tricking him into revealing it, but he's never succeeded. He'd tried taking him for coffee, but Cheekbones, aka Too Tall, had simply stood there while Alex gave his name for both the drinks in the order. Which, come to think of it, is definitely how he knows Alex's name, and also means he's cleverer than Alex. Alex wishes he didn't find that hot. Regardless of the fact that the situation is ridiculous, and June and Nora tease him mercilessly about it, Alex's real problem lately is that Return of the Jedi, aka Austin fan, had gone home to London for an unspecified length of time, and Alex hasn't seen him in 3 weeks. A lifetime, really. Shut up, June and Nora. And during that time, Alex had decided that he was going to, 1, get the man's number, 2, use said number to ask him on a date because he's pretty sure that Blushes a Lot, aka definitely checks out Alex's ass, is interested in him too. And 3, find out his fucking name. When Crinkly Eyes, aka Toothy Grin, catches sight of Alex, he smiles so brightly that Alex's heart feels like it's about to explode out of his chest, and not just because he's already run 5 miles this morning. This is how he knows it's real. Because he's never felt like this before, like he's lit up from the inside just because a guy whose name he doesn't even know looks at him like he's made said guy's entire day just by existing. "Hello, Alex," he says on an exhale, like a sigh of relief, when Alex jogs up to him. "Hey, sweetheart," Alex says, because he likes the pink it evokes in the other man's cheeks, and also because he doesn't know what else to call him.
"Christ, you're a sight for sore eyes."
Alex probably looks disgusting and bedraggled, actually, but whatever. That's certainly part of why he's not expecting to be immediately pulled into a hug. But also, he didn't realize they were on hugging terms. Fuck. Not that he's complaining. Not when strong arms curl around his waist and he gets a nose full of linen and fresh grass. Alex can't help it. He lets himself lean into it a little too much, and that would have been fine except for someone else got a little too excited by the proceedings. That someone being David, of course. A pair of paws hit Alex's butt, and the extra force makes him lose his already precarious balance from being up on his tiptoes so that he all but swoons into Prince Charming's, aka Adonis's, arms. Fortunately, his savior catches him, stumbling backward a step but keeping them upright, and they both burst out laughing.
"Davy, be polite,"
Mr. Smells Incredible chides his dog.
"Aw, he just missed me,"
Alex coos down at David, who has now gotten distracted by a squirrel. Reluctantly, well, it's reluctant on Alex's part, and he's pretty sure he's not alone, they separate. And when Alex meets his eye again, there's something impossibly warm sparkling in them.
"He's not the only one."
Alex's pulse is thrumming in his veins, and he feels breathless, like he's still running. He can't get enough of it.
"Yeah, well, we missed you around here, too."
He raises his eyebrows and looks around.
"We?" "Okay, me," Alex laughs. "I can't speak for everyone else. Wanda did ask me where you were one day, though."
Wanda feeds the birds on a bench near the waterfall. Somehow Alex knows her name, but she'd just asked Alex where his young man was, so that was no help either. His young man laughs, and Alex's stomach swoops.
"I realized after I left that I'd made a grave mistake," he says, his expression going serious. "Yeah?"
He pulls out a cell phone and holds it out.
"I never got your number, love."
In the end, Alex finds out his name, Henry, in the most mundane way possible, from the buzzer on his apartment building. He still prefers sweetheart, though. ETL Echo, echoing tales for everyone to love.